Today we will talk about, actually is the second part of a series of about spiritual crisis, and especially this one is the fourth one, but if you were not here the last time, they can be separate. There are different kind of crises. Actually, this one is the more common for devotee or spiritual people, because we already pass this, the first three stages generally. If not, there are the recording maybe, and we can also discuss about that. So this is from Poison to Amrita, and is connected with the lila, with the pastime of the churning of the ocean of milk. Does anybody already know the story of the ocean of milk? Can raise your hand. Okay, almost everyone. Perfect. So we just want to know also the metaphorical meaning of this churning of the ocean of milk. And there, I think there is a lot if you go deep inside the story. But before that, I want just say something. This is an old slide. Maybe you see the last time we met here. And it's okay to be in crisis. Please, repeat with me. It's okay to be in crisis. It's okay also that someone near to me is in crisis. You know, it's not a burden. It's not something, oh no, Madai. Madai, you're in crisis. Nah. Zakai, no? Something like that. We don't know. It's a part of the process. This is the first most important point. It's not something, oh, I'm wrong in something. I'm wrong. Oh, the other one is wrong. No, it's not something. It's part, integral part of the process to be in crisis. So we have to learn to deal with our crisis and eventually with the crisis of others. And the beautiful of Sangha is that generally, we are in crisis in different times. And this is good, no? Because I can help you when you are in crisis, and you can help me when I am in crisis. This is the beauty of Sangha. We can help each other. We can raise our consciousness. But generally, we feel a little shy to show others that we are in crisis. So we keep for ourselves, and so the crisis is generally more painful than could be if we share and we take, in some way, help with others. And generally, sometimes we are not able or we don't know how to deal with someone that is in crisis. And maybe we fear that his or her crisis can bring us down, you know? So yeah, it's very strange, you know, this topic, and I want to speak about it a little more. Generally, crises are crises of identity. And all the crises deal with identity. And actually, the first topic in spiritual life, second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, in every place he went, he spoke about we are spirit soul and so on. Because all the crises come from a misunderstanding about our identity. Generally like that, in different levels, you know. And we spoke about that in another, the last time. And this is a slide that could be very interesting about the different levels, different layers. Before you saw an onion, and we are like an onion. We have different straight, different layer, and this is depend from different kind of school. There is manas, buddhi, ankara, atma, like different layers, or there are the koshas in the yoga system. So we are in different level, and we tend to identify with different levels. But what are spiritual crises? Generally, spiritual crises are the dichotomy between our spiritual nature, that is pure, that is full of joy, full of consciousness, and our material covering, our historical self. Generally, the crises were born from these two contradictory parts of us. There is a part of us, spiritual people knows to be eternal, full of joy, perfect. They know they have a standard of ethic, morality, but there is the body and the mind that are doing something else. And crisis born in this dichotomy between these two kind of identity that are parallel. They are at the same place. Actually, we are the soul, but we are also in this kind of frame, time frame, we are also the body and the mind in some way. Means we are not actually, we have. If we have a car that is broken, it's a problem, you know? So this is one of the main points. And there are crises that are pathological, that are that can create psychological diseases. And there are crises that are spiritual, that generally can create the same diseases, actually, but they have different nature. There is a part of psychology that deals with spiritual crises. It's called transpersonal psychology. And we spoke about that last time. And last time we dealt about the first three crises. The crisis preceding spiritual experience, the crisis produced by spiritual experience, and the reaction following spiritual experience. And I have a slide just to summarize these three kind of experience. And then this one, I don't know if you can read. The first one is when we have not spiritual experience, we have not experience of something else, and we got in crisis because our soul is awakening in some way, and we saw the world with no meaning anymore. This can happen at 50 years of age, can happen in any time. Even in adolescence, everything seems no sense, no meaning. And then in that case, reality seems to blur, no sense. But we don't know how to deal this kind of emotion. And generally, people start to take drugs or start to go into the workaholic, start to do something not to think about this emotion. And we deal with that. And the best thing, of course, is to start a spiritual journey, to discover this emptiness inside us. And then there is a spiritual crisis that arises when we had spiritual experience in our life. So we had some spiritual experience. And sometimes this kind of spiritual experience can make one narcissistic, because I think that the level, something that I touch, the spiritual level that I touch is my level. I am that. I am God. I am that divinity. It's the level of the prophets, of the, you know, it's the level of the sagias, like showing ecstatic experiences, ecstatic symptoms, and something like that. And then this can be, this is also the syndrome of pure devotee. Maybe you know that. When someone is starting to do even Krishna consciousness, and he feels some emotion and feel that he's in a good shape, now he feels like, yeah, I am empowered by God, I like a messiah. Generally, no one say that because we are also humble, so we don't say that. But we feel, yeah, so much enthusiasm. And the other senior devotees say, yeah, let me see how I will endure. I will stay in that. Because, there is some enthusiasm in the beginning. There is some spiritual experience. But the crisis is born from thinking we are reach that level. It's not so. It's not so easy. We have to do a little climbing before. And then there is the third level, the third crisis, that when the spiritual happiness that arises in the beginning starts to shade, and we remain with ourselves. It's like the tide of the moon. You know, the moon is creating this tiding process. So sometimes the tide is up, and the water of the sea, of the lake, is up. And sometimes the water goes down, you know? And when the water is up, it seems so clean, the water. It seems perfect. Oh, I want to swim in this stream. And then the tide goes down, we start to see the rock, maybe some bottle, maybe some Radenska there, I don't know, something there. And and we see, oh, such a mess in ourselves, you know? Because the tide is going up and down. So in that kind of crisis, we see ourselves, we can see our emotions, our traumas, and something like that. So if we don't understand in that stages that the spiritual path is something circular, it's not something I'm going like that without obstruction, but something circular. I have a slide for you that is very nice. And sometimes we reach something, and sometimes we go deeper inside us, and we see the subconscious mind, and we see how many stuff we have inside us. And this part of this process. So this is like a very nice lake or sea, but when the tide go down, we can see everything. We can see the dirt, we can see the rocks, everything. The anarthas become visible. And actually, this is a very good part of our process, because if we don't see our anarthas, we cannot deal with them, you know? So this is a nice part. It's also nice when we are in the flow, we feel so much connected with God. This is also very good because give us enthusiasm, give us, the ambition to go there, to reach there. Okay, perfect. So when we understand that nothing is free, breastplachino, but we have to pay something. Maybe there are some popusti sometime with sadhusanga and stay with devotees and special mercy in special days. But we have to work to reach that level. So we have to climb a little. And this is the beginning, actually, of the process. We reach the fourth stage. Of course, we have the stage of devotional service. We have Sraddha, faith, sadhusanga, association with devotee, bhajana kriya, performance of devotional practice. We have anartha nivritti. This is very important. This is the decreasing of unwanted attachment in our heart. And then there are, after anartha nivritti, everything is little smooth. There is nishta, stability in our path, and so on. But these are the main, the main places are bhajana kriya and anartha nivritti, and they are really connected. This is vlak, and there are two, roads in the train, two paths. And one path is bhajana kriya, and the other path is anartha nivritti. And they are together. They are not separable. It's something like we are doing our practice to purify our heart, and on the same time we are doing an introspection going inside us. We can say maybe that bhajana kriya, to perform bhajana, it creates ecstasy, and sometimes it is connect more with the eye type. And anartha nivritti means I have also to see my anartha, otherwise no vritti, no nivritti of our anartha, no? If I don't see, they stay there, I cannot work on them. So there is an active role of ourselves in some way, working of our anartha. And they are together. They are two tracks of a real world. Practice and active purification go together. So, the fourth step, this is like a summary, just 5 minutes summary of the last meeting. And then there is the four stages. We have understood that the process is something circular, that we have to climb in some way. We have to work in our process. And this is nice. Krishna said we do with joy in Bhagavad Gita. We do with joy. Because when we expect something, we can do also with joy. And this is connected with these four stages, that is the process of purification, is connected with the churning of the ocean of milk. This is a history that is narrated in various Purana, even in the Ramayana. Actually, I'm studying Ramayana because I'm doing a podcast in Italian about Ramayana. We are reading the integral part of the Ramayana, and we are in the first book, in Balakanda. And in the first book, Vishvamitra, do you know Vishvamitra? It's a very great sage. And Vishvamitra narrated this story to Rama and Lakshman during the journey towards Sita. They were going to do some stuff in the between, but actually Vishvamitra wanted to bring Krishna to Sita, to Krishna, Rama, to Sita in Mithila. And they are going there, and Vishvamitra told the history of this churning of the ocean of milk, but with little difference. For example, the poison is at the end, not in the beginning. But otherwise, it's the same. There are little. And our Acharya told us that when there is differences, that means that this lila happened in different kalpas, in different millennium, and something like that. So, everyone knows this lila, but I will tell just some word about that. The devatas went to Vishnu because they wanted the nectar of immortality. You know? That represents spiritual perfection, that represents fullness, satisfaction, and so on. And they wanted to defeat the Asuras. And the Asuras are the dark side of ourselves, actually. Vishnu advised them to ally with the Asuras. You know, the Devat are the light and the Asura are the dark. And Vishnu suggested them to ally with itself, with themselves. So they took the snake Vasuki. They took a snake. And they took a mountain, Mandara. And they take this serpent, because the nectar will come out from the churning of the ocean of milk. And the rope for churning was a serpent, Vasuki. So it was a very big project, you know. Sometimes we have big project, but not so big. They have a really big project, a universal project. And you know, you can see there are the Asuras in a side, and there are the Devatas. And you can see the Devatas are in the side of the tail of the snake, And the asuras are on the side of the head of the snake. And actually, this was because Vishnu suggested to the asura to do the opposite, to the devatas to do the opposite. He suggested to the devatas, bring the head of the serpent while churning. And the devatas said, why? The head had so much poison. We cannot survive. But they say, no problem. Let's do this. Because the asuras like. We will like that. You will see. And so, the devatas went to the head of the serpent and the asura to the tail. And then the asuras start to complain. Ah, see, these devatas, they always give us the wrong part. You know, the impure. They give the tail. The tail is impure. You know, the underwear, the under part of the person is impure. You know, you can understand in the tail of the serpent there are, you know, the impure parts. And so they start to complain. They say, no, we want a head because the head is the pure part. And so the devatas knows that Vishnu knows everything. And so they accept this deal, big deal, actually. And they took the head of the serpent and the asuras took the head. And while churning, they feel the poison. This is very interesting. Because it's a metaphorical, you know? I know that you already know that, but I just told for, because we have to, I have to entertain you, so I will tell you the details. You know, sometimes the devatas are the light part of ourselves, the good part, and the asuras are the dark part of ourselves. You know? Why, Prema, you are saying that? It's your invention, this. But you understand, in different areas, the Asura were in other planets. In Tetra Yuga, the Asuras are in different parts of the same world. You know, like Ravana and Rama. In Dvarapa Yuga, they are in the same family, like Kurus and Pandavas in the Bhagavad Gita. They are same family. And in this era, they are in the same person. So, Deva Asura are inside us. And the churning of the ocean of milk is the process of purification. And it's very important, very interesting that Vishnu suggests to ally those two parts. Not to get one away. No, you are asuras, you are fired up. Go away. No, it's not like that. We cannot erase some part of ourselves. We have to deal with. And we have to be a little tricky sometimes. We have to do some little cheating. We have to sublimate our energy. Our energy wants to go in some direction, we have to bring our energy up, you know? So we have to deal with our energy. And also our destructive, negative energy could be used in the churning of the ocean of milk. This is a first very high psychological, understanding that we can have from the churning of the ocean of milk. Yeah, it's incredible, you know? So, this is the churning of the ocean of milk. It's in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th canto, 6, 7, 8 chapter. So, actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the place in the Puranas where the churning of the ocean of milk is more, is more dealt with, is more studied. This is Vishnu, the Asuras, Kurma Devatas, and the Asuras and the devatas meet together. They start to churn the ocean of milk. But the Mount Mantara was a little slippery, so we needed Kurma Avatara. Kurma Avatara, the tortoise Avatara, go there under the mountain so that the pivot of the churning, the mountain, can stay there. You know? And this is another metaphor, because Kurma Avatara means stability. The ocean of milk is the mind. So it's very difficult to churn the ocean of milk if our mind is not in some way stable. If there is some pathology, if there is something that is blocking us, and is kind of, we have to work with that. We have, before everything, we have to bring a little stability in our mind. Otherwise, the process will be a little, you know, shaky. That will be difficult to do. So we can also pray Kurma Avatara to bring stability in our mind, in our life, of course. But sometime, with some cases, we have to, you know, to work on the psychological level. Otherwise, it will be very difficult to churn the ocean. And so this is the first entrance of Vishnu. Actually, the first was the suggestion he gave. The second one is Kurma Avatara. The third one, okay, it was not slippery on the underside, but it was slippery in the upper side. It was like that, you know? And so another form of Vishnu sit on the upper side. Of course, you already know that Vishnu means divine grace. And it is very interesting how in all the process of purification, Vishnu is always there, doing whatever Deva Asura combined cannot do. So you know the Leela of Damodara, that, you know, there are two fingers. One finger is like our endeavor and the other is the grace. This is also explained in this Leela. The grace is always there to help the devotees or the spiritual people to do this purification. And, you know. And then Deva Asura start to be too weak. They cannot do anymore. They are too tired. And so Vishnu took the rope, the serpent Vasuki, and started to churn the ocean himself. This is another instance where Vishnu appeared. And from the ocean, something came out. This is what came out from the ocean. I divided these items in three groups. Purification of the negativity, purification of the positive, means temptation, and liberation. So the first items come out from the ocean are many aquatic animals. You know, many aquatic animals. And these are all our thoughts, our, you know, everything that is inside us, that is living inside us, because the aquatics are living inside us and are taking our energy from us. There are so many things inside us. Could be traumas, could be, you know, bad experiences, could be a lot of point. And they are living inside us, in our mind, eating the energy of our mind. So the first stuff actually is before that is the poison. Before that is the poison. And Shiva drank the poison. This is very important. The first stuff that came out, item that came out from the ocean, is the poison. What is the poison? The poison means that if we try to bring everything negative outside us, it will be like poison. If someone is smoking and stop to smoke, It's like poison coming up. And we feel like we were better before, you know? And sometimes also in spiritual life, something came up out from our heart, and we feel like, but maybe I was better before, I was more kind with others, you know? And I was little stable, now a little unstable. And Shiva represents the process of meditation. So Shiva is the process of meditation. Without the process of meditation, Shiva is always chanting the name of Rama, the name of Ananta. So the process of meditation for us is the chanting of the holy name. Through the process of meditation, we can deal with this poison. Otherwise, it's too much painful, can also damage us. Then there are the aquatics, there is the hala hala poison. There is the surabi, the cow of wishes, the kamadenu. Kamadenu, we find it in the story of Vishwamitra and Vashishta, in the Ramayana. We found Parashuram killed all the kshatriyas because his father was killed by one Arjuna, another Arjuna, that wanted the cow of the desire, the cow of the desires, from his father Jadamagni, and so on. So there are horses, Bali Maharaj took that. There are elephants, Indra took the elephants. There are Kustuba gems, riches, Padmaga money, the gem of Vishnu. Vishnu took this kind of riches. There was the Parijata flowers. There was Lakshmi come out, the goddess of fortune. Varuni. The Apsaras come from the ocean of milk. You know, the Apsaras that we find in the celestial world come out from the ocean of milk. And after all those stuff come out, Dhanvantari with the Amrita in his hand come from the ocean of milk. This is like a list, you know, but everything has a meaning. If you read this pastime with that meaning, we had a lot of information about the spiritual path. The journeys is the introspective meditative yoga processes. The ocean is the mind, especially the unconscious mind, because we don't see whatever is inside our mind, as we don't see whatever is inside the ocean of milk. Then there are the water animals, their thoughts, impression, emotion. In the yoga system, we call vasanas, samskaras, you know. All this stuff are inside us. And they are living inside us, because the animals, they are living, they're eating. There is, you know, the whale is eating the other fish, and they are working inside us, you know. There is Vishnu, that is the divine intervention. There are the hala hala poison, that is the poison inside us that make us afraid. There are the, in the lower part of ourselves, there are a lot of poison. The apsaras are the sexual energy, of course. And the treasures, horses, elephants, are the distraction and the temptation. From the spirit, when we do our spiritual path, can come everything in our life. And we can deviate from our understanding, for our goal. And the amrita is the immortality, the liberation. Or the devas are the bright part in us, and the asuras are the dark side. Both bright and shadowy part of us are to be used in our purification process. They must make a trust and cooperate in the process of purification. We want to use everything of ourselves. I think this is a very important information. This is from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. They are, in some way, the same process expresses in another way. We have no time to read that. We read just a little fast. Utsamai, exhibition of enthusiasm, but is a flickering enthusiasm. Sometimes he make an effort, and sometimes the effort is weakness of the heart. And state of doubt, uncertainty about how to organize my life and the devotional service. This is another type of anartha. Fighting with temptation is another stage. Sometimes we see some devotees very introspective that, yeah, he's on the verge. Maybe he's fighting with temptation in some way. And instability and determination to follow rules. And caught in sight benefit gains name and fame. This is kind of anarthas that are related. This is kind of items we can find in the ocean of milk. Sometime or later, they can come in our life. No, but now is okay. Yeah, but the life is not like just now. The life is circular. This is Dhammantari Mohinimurti. This is the last slide for today, I think. Yeah. And it's just the circular process explained by visual. Let me follow in this idea. You see, when we are not doing a spiritual process, we just deal in our self-conscious mind, you know? So we are just in our conscious mind, so we see whatever we see. But when we start a spiritual process, we start to deal with other part of ourself. And you see, this is a model, a psychological model. There are many psychological models in different psychological traditions. This is just a model, but just to understand the concept, I think could be useful for us. Let's see. When we start to go deep in ourself, we start to churn our ocean of milk. So we start to go deep. And you see, there is a lower subconscious where there are our instincts, our bad stuff is inside that. Our tendencies, they are that. And there are higher conscious. The higher conscious is the place where we have the intuition. You see, it's near to the Atma. This is the self, means the historical self, the Ankara, and this is the Atma, in some way. So, when we go deep, we start to go around and wide our circle. You see? Can you understand that? Resumete? Okay. So, when we are going deeper, the circle starts to go wide. That means that we reach higher level of consciousness, but when we are going in that direction, we reach also deeper stage of seeing ourselves also in the bad side. You know? And when we see that, and we know that is part of the process, the tie is down, and we work on that. It's time to work. Oh, okay, I see some envy. I see some bad emotion. Okay, it's time to work. Some domachana loga. Yeah? And when we reach other state, knowing that this is going to pass, and we will reach some higher place after passing the exam. And then when we reach higher stage, we can stay there feeling the connection with God, knowing that this state is going to pass because we have to go deeper in ourselves. And more we go deep, more we go high. This is the process in some way. For this reason, sometimes you can read some poetry of our acharya that say, I'm so low. They're seeing in some way in the lower tide. Of course, they are already liberated, but they are showing us the path. And sometimes they enjoy the company, the connection with Krishna. Okay, so this is the last slide. I think we passed the message. And this is just the divine intervention of Vishnu and the different way. You can read this slide, but the process is nothing without the help of divine grace. So we are always, the universe is always, in some way, create project to help us in our growth. So even if it seems hard, our process, God, in the form of Paramatma, in the form of Guru, is always with us. And devotees are always with us in our Sangha. So, okay, we stop here. I hope that, of course, it's a huge topic. We just touch some point. You see, there is some more to say. I hope that this little information can be useful for your spiritual path. And yeah, I think.
Question.
Uprashanya? Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Prabhu, for pointing out this very important topic. So, from my understanding, in this process, it's very important determination. Of course, we can count on Krishna's mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, we cannot overcome any anatta or. But still, we have to do our part. So, like in this lila, you know, without determination of both sides, it won't happen anything. So my question is, how to be determined on spiritual path, especially, you know, if we have some material goals, we can see the results, you know, it's more,
Tangible,
yeah, it's more tangible. But you know, our goal is transcendence. You know, we not at the moment we don't have this experience. So how to be determined about the goal which is not that tangible? This is my question. Thank you.
Wow, nice question. And in the bhakti, we want to be with Krishna, but in some way we are like working in a way that Krishna reveals to us. So it's something like a tension between desire our goal, know the step. No, there is also the tension that there are level of devotion, but we want always to feel lower. So there is not levels for us in that way, you know? Because if there are levels of devotion, but I want to follow the acharya and feel lower than a straw in the street, I cannot identify with level of devotion. So I give him just my ideas of that, my understanding, so maybe senior devotees and spiritual master can answer better, but it's like our identification is something like maybe identify with I'm the servant or I'm a spiritual seeker. So whatever will happen in my life, I will do my best. And it's something like the goal is very high, and sometimes it's too high, and even if it's not too high for someone, we don't want to identify with some level of devotion. When someone starts to say, "Oh, I'm arrived," This is a lead. Now he's saying to us there is something strange, you know. And so maybe it's kind of an attitude, like whatever will happen in my life, Krishna, I will try to serve you my best. Yes, sometimes maybe my karma, I will not able to use my hand, I will not able to use something of my body. I will try with other parts. I will try with my mind. Sometimes I'm a period which I'm very tired. I will try my best with that emotion of tiredness. Because sometimes there are periods of life that are just overwhelming. There are not solution. And determination means going against the wind. So it's not miserable by external means. And we have this story in Ramayana where there is the squirtle, you know, and sometimes someone say the spider. And there is the Hanuman. Hanuman is bringing a lot of stuff to build the bridge. And the squirtle or the spider, maybe, they are bringing just little stones. But, you know, Hanuman say, get out of the way because I can, you know, splat you on the ground. But Rama stopped them and say, no, they're doing the same service. So it's a kind of attitude, maybe, and the attitude is not miserable, actually. Sincerity, there is not, a measure of sincerity. There is not a measure. It's something like we do our best and we try with whatever we want. And when we are in this mood, I think this is the way. I'm trying to do the best, whatever I have, because generally karmic I have obstacles, impediments, could be my family, can be my work, could be my mind. My mind is something karmic. It's coming from my karma, my mind. So I have my problem, but I will do the best. I will give. I think that is kind of an attitude. Toward is not measurable. There is not measurable. And when we try to measure, we can also get confused because there is something that appears very end, then we know that it do other stuff. You know, so it's not measurable. It's something like sincerity is in our heart. Maybe sometimes you can see outside, but sometimes not. And we have to know that. I don't know if you answer your question or maybe make more confused. Can happen. Thank you. Rupash.
Hare Krishna, thank you for a really nice presentation with this lila from Srimad Bhagavatam. Makes such a bigger sense of our own life. I have a question regarding this crisis. Is there any, not like difference, but how to recognize that this is actually crisis in my life and not because, let's say, I have a few friends, devotees who left the process because they lose the taste. You know, how to know that this is losing the taste or it's just a crisis in your life?
Losing the taste is a crisis.
Yeah, so, but, you know, because if I know that it's just a crisis of my life, it's for me, it's just a part of my life which I have a crisis, that doesn't mean that I have to leave even though I don't have a taste.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So what is there, that moment, you know, how can I recognize for myself if this will happen to me, it's just a crisis, it's not that I'm losing the taste, even though it's the crisis.
I think that crisis and losing the taste is the same. Sometimes, there is also the fifth crisis that is the dark night of the soul. Every saint in every tradition knows that. In our tradition, Bhaktitirtha Swami speak about that, but, you know, with other words, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so on. And there are stages where... They're very painful And the saint could be also very, can seem very lazy, like losing everything in that stage of purification. So losing that taste is a kind of synonym to be in crisis. And maybe we have to deal with why. And sometimes not knowing that, this is the second type of crisis, and the third type of crisis, when someone is, he had a spiritual experience, that means a taste in the holy name, in our tradition, and then it disappears, and he doesn't know how to find. This is very painful. It is related to the second or third crisis. That is the third crisis, actually. And it's always a crisis. And the living of the movement, for example, is not knowing that is a crisis, and it's part of the process. And from there, we have to build our purification. Now, there are many people that they lose taste, and they have taste in the beginning. It's like the moon, how to say? La luna di miele.
Honeymoon.
You know, there is a honeymoon, there is a lot of taste in the beginning. Then sometimes we have to deal with ourselves. And then the taste come again, but in some period, and then it disappear maybe. And you know that. You know that it's kind of process. And you continue the process because it's going on in the process that the purification reach a stage of nista, that means stability. Then the taste could be stable. Our life could be stable. Generally, yeah, it's like, I think that it's like that.
Thank you.
But maybe someone can say something better.
Example,
how we combine the good and bad in us for spiritual advancement or purification. This is very interesting. This is like another lecture. Because, there is a process of sublimation that we bring lower energy, for example. You know, we can use whatever energy, even kama, krodha, lobha, everything could be used. Like one example, Hanuman used krodha to fight and something like that. There is a process of sublimation. You know that you can sublime the sexual energy, for example, with arts, painting, doing arts and something like that. You can... or with service, serving other is a sublimation. And for someone, sexual energy could be a problem. Someone is under control. As for someone is not under control. There are rape, there are a lot of stuff, you know? And sublimation of the word when we become angry, you know? Anger. For example, with logic, or with sport, or with competition, we can sublimate our energy and use for our service. There are tools to do that. Also, you know, doing service, and there is a lot of ways to do that. Sometimes we understand that some part of us that are dark, actually, it's because in the past was useful, help us to defend ourselves, to protect ourselves, and so take a shape that is not light, but we can give another shape that is more lighting and most useful for our path. So it's possible. Actually, it's needed. Not just possible, it's needed. Otherwise, the dark side will stay in us and they work always against us. Always. So, Maybe sometime we can speak about how or if there are tools to do that. Thank you.